Nowhere do we encounter the question of what we like so broadly, so forcefully, so instinctively as in a restaurant meal. Sitting down to eat is not just a ritual of nourishment, but a kind of story. Venturing through the course of a meal, we encounter a narrative, with its prologues, its climaxes, its slow resolutions. But a meal is also a concentrated exercise in choice and pleasure, longing and regret, the satisfaction of wants and the creation of desires. And so we begin our journey with the journey of a meal. It is a blustery winter day on the windy western reaches of Manhattan, but inside Del Posto, the Italian restaurant run by Mario Batali and Joe and Lydia Bastianich, the wood-paneled room is warmly lit, a pianist is deep into Send in the Clowns, and the red wine is being poured by a waiter with a continental accent and well-honed charm. What's not to like? Very little, really. One does not generally arrive at the white-clothed table of a restaurant accorded 4 stars by the New York Times, only to find a raft of unpalatable swill. The very fact that the food has made it onto the menu of a long-established culinary tradition, reflects that it is generally liked. We are not our evolutionary ancestors, forced to graze on the culinary savanna, scrounging for sustenance amid a host of unfamiliar plants and elusive prey, waiting for our bodies to tell us whether we like or will survive what we have chosen. Nevertheless, the old tickle at the back of the brain, eat this, not that, has hardly left us. We are born knowing 2 things. Sweet is good, caloric energy, bitter is bad, potential toxin. We also come into the world with a curious blend of full-spectrum liking and disliking. We are, on the one hand, omnivores. There is little we could not eat. As Paul Rozin, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, has helpfully pointed out, we share this generalist status with such other worthy species as rats and cockroaches. And yet, like rats, we are intensely neophobic, afraid of trying new foods. Being dual omnivores slash neophobes has its evolutionary advantages. The latter trait kept us from ingesting the wrong things, the former made sure we had plenty of access to the right things. But neophobia can go too far. In some experiments, rats, once mildly poisoned by new foods, became so afraid of subsequent new foods that they starved to death. We actually seem predisposed to be more acutely aware of what we do not like than of what we like. We are particularly alert to even minor changes in what we do like, as if we had an internal alarm for when things go wrong. When I am served by mistake diet soda, which I do not like and thus do not drink, my response borders on the visceral. Danger. This alarm is most well-tuned for the bitter, and we rate aversive tastes as being more intense than pleasurable ones. The worm found in the last bite of an otherwise delicious apple will pretty much wipe out the pleasure accumulated from eating the rest of it. Although this may be an occasional drag on our ability to enjoy life, being primed to spot the bad helps us to have a life to enjoy.